Welcome everybody to another exciting, wonderful, fantastic episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and Australia's number one sheep herder, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, it's ironic you say sheep. Yeah, you didn't know this, but I've actually recently bought a pair of shoes that are 100% wool. So there you go. They're from Germany. Have you ever tried the Allbirds shoes? This has nothing to do with
them. They're my favorite, and I have like six pairs.
As am I. I love the Allbirds. I've had multiple pairs. And then I found this other brand called like Geiswin. Someone got onto me for pronouncing Apple Silicon as Apple Silicone. And so now I'm, you know, we've already had a pronunciation issue on the show. And so now I'm just paranoid about how I say
it. I got the same thing too. Someone tweeted at it, like I was saying it wrong in my videos. I'm like, I'm sorry. My voice is just like a little more nasally. And when I'm like talking kind of quickly, my silicone comes out more like silicone. Like they're very small.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do know the difference and I do say the correct one.
It just sounds slightly.
Yeah. I was listening to a video the other day. I'm like, I definitely said silicone, but it really came out like silicone. Like it's not.
I know.
Well, especially talking quickly, they get mixed up.
We've apparently offended all of Silicon Valley.
Yes.
And they're like, everyone's mad. Let me just say they're not a sponsor of the show. But if you're looking for some shoes, there's some good wool shoes out there, Allbirds and Geiswin. I think that's how you say it.
Yes, it's Colonel Allbirds. Yep.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. Well, let's talk about some home stuff because iOS 14.5 betas came out last week. And this is not HomeKit related, but I feel like it is worth mentioning because I think it's a big deal and you did a video on it. And I'd love to hear how well it actually works. But Apple added a watch unlock for your iPhone if you have a mask on. So if you have a Face ID iPhone, and obviously when you have a mask, the Face ID doesn't work. And they're adding functionality in iOS 14.5 coming out publicly, you know, probably in a couple months, that if you have an Apple Watch on your wrist and unlocked, it will then also have your iPhone be able to be unlocked without scanning your face. And so how was that experience? And I mean, is it pretty seamless, pretty fast?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's hard to completely say because we're in beta, right?
Yeah.
And things are going to change. Things are hopefully going to get better. But I will say I've used this a lot so far, and it's really impressive. Like, they've clearly been working on this for a long flipping time, but it works really, really well when it works. I mean, it's pretty much as seamless as you'd expect it to be. You pick up your phone, you swipe up, and you're on your home screen. It's almost instantaneous. You get a tap on your wrist, and then when you look at your wrist, it says, like, unlocking with iPhone, and it gives you a little automatic lock button that you can lock that down.
Okay.
So if you inadvertently unlocked your phone, you can tap the button and relock it. It is just really, really nice. I'm very excited about it. And like right after the beta, I spent like an entire like next day out in the world.
Yes.
I was like returning. I was doing stuff with my Mac Pro, which we'll have to talk about in a later episode. Mm-hmm. But I was like literally running around a whole bunch the next day using this feature a ton in the real world. And it worked probably about 75% of the time. Right now for me, other times it would just be like unlocking with Apple Watch and kind of like spinning for a moment. Mm. And then it would just present me with my passcode. So it wasn't perfect, but it worked well enough. I mean, especially for a beta one. I'm assuming most of those bugs are going to get cleaned up by the time it launches. But no, this is going to be, you know, a game changer for everyone wearing masks right now. And 14.5 in general is just going to be a huge release when this comes out. I mean, we've got the Xbox Series X controller support and DualSense controller support, the PS5 controllers.
That's right.
The new anti-tracking stuff is mandatory in this release. That's going to be a big deal.
Mark Zuckerberg's head is literally imploding as this is about to be released. Yes.
The Face ID stuff on there. There's a bunch of other little changes. You can now AirPlay with your Apple Fitness stuff to your TV.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you don't have an Apple TV, even you can do it with other sets.
Right.
Just that have like AirPlay built in.
Right. And then there was the one home thing I saw was, this is maybe minor, but like when you hit the plus button inside the home app, you get some different functionality now in 14.5. What was that about?
Yeah. So before you'd have, I mean, they keep shuffling these buttons around because it was in the top right hand corner. But then if you have intercom in that room, like a HomePod or in that room, it'll like switch the plus button to an intercom button. And then it moves the plus button to the left hand side. And now when you press on the plus button, I think before it was just like add scene or add accessory. Now it's doing a whole bunch of other stuff. So you tap on that plus button and you have add scene and add accessory, but you now also have add automation, add room, add people, or add new home, all from that one plus button. So it was already a drop down, essentially. It was already two taps to do something, but they added all those additional options to the list, which I think is a good idea. It makes it easier to add those things. You don't have to go digging around to add a room or add a home, anything like that.
Very cool. Well, check out Andrew's videos. I'll put links in show notes to those. But that's the betas are available now, but public release probably coming in a number of weeks, most likely. So Abode Security, you know, we've talked about them in the past few weeks. People have questions about security systems. I'm looking at security systems for in the near future for myself. And they just updated their app. They updated it to 5.2, I believe is the version. Mm-hmm. But they've added some key functionality. They've added customizations to their timeline view, so you can prioritize what you want to see in that. They've added widgets, so you can see like device states and all that in the widgets. And they've added shortcuts. And as we've been talking about shortcuts recently, this is awesome. You can do things like get a device status. You can manage the alarm. You can run a quick action. And then you can set the system mode. And you can add those steps in whatever shortcut now because they're part of shortcuts. They added that to the last app. So it looks great. I'll put some screenshots and stuff in the show notes and as the chapter art. But this is really cool. So have you... You got this update, right? Because you have some Abode devices.
Yeah, man. I have not had time yet. It's been a freaking crazy week. We've been so busy over here. So I haven't gotten a chance to play with this yet, but I am really excited. I mean, the shortcuts thing alone, first off, I love widgets. So it's really awesome to have those widgets built in, especially like the stacking and smart widgets that you can integrate this into. But I think I'm most excited for those shortcuts because I'm really curious at what I can do now. Like, how much can I build that into my existing HomeKit stuff? Because... You know, we've talked about kind of the idiosyncrasies with alarm systems in HomeKit, and they don't work exactly how we want them to. You know, there's the weird things with, like, only that brand's motion sensors and contact sensors will trigger an alarm, and setting an alarm versus disarming an alarm versus switching modes. You know what I mean? Like, putting it into a night mode, like, you can't really change those through HomeKit. Really? Like, there's ways you kind of can, but it's all funky. So I'm really interested now that they actually have shortcuts, tying those into our HomeKit scenes and automations. So I'm going to have to play with that a lot because now that might make a big difference of like more frequently setting my alarm system at night to go into like a night mode.
Right.
Where the motion sensors are disabled, but my contact sensors on the doors are enabled.
Oh.
So that way if a door opens, the alarm goes off, but like the dog and the cat walking around at night aren't going to trigger things. So if I can tie that into a HomeKit scene, like I can just say good night and it'll go ahead and arm my alarm into night mode with all of my HomeKit stuff that's closing the window, locking the doors, all of that. That would be awesome, man.
No, that is awesome. And so I'm excited because this is still kind of the, I don't know, would you say the best or like most complete option for a HomeKit security system for your home?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about the Acara one, which is good, but I find this more reliable. I think there's a much larger feature set. The number of different contact sensors alone is like a reason for a lot of people to go with this solution because they've got like, I'm not joking, like 10 different styles of contact sensors for various like rooms or windows or mounts and everything, like super thin to bigger, like all sorts of different stuff. So they've been doing a lot in the space, you know, before jumping in with HomeKit, and I really like them. So this is what I use. I never arm the Acara one. They also have the little button, the little remote, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. By the way, I just want to say, my wife is going to be listening to this one. I know it. And she's probably shaking her head because we have... I didn't use the contact sensor for a while, so it was sitting on our counter. But the thing is, it's still hooked up to the alarm system, to the Abode system. And you can have it chirp when your door opens and closed, which I really like. Mm. So you open it and it like, you know, chirps at you from the alarm system.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you have the contact sensor sitting on the counter and then it just gets bumped, it's like chirp, chirp, chirp. And like the cat will play with it and hit it or something. And it just all the time. I'm pretty sure she would be very happy if I just hooked that up. But we already have so many contact sensors on the doors that I was like putting it off until I for sure knew if I was going to go with like the car or the Abode or whatever. Yeah, we're gonna hook that up. It's going to stop chirping on the counter all the time.
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
Shortcuts are going to be huge. So I'm really, if I can find, you know, an hour to sit down and go through these and try to integrate them into my scenes, this is going to be a big deal.
So this next piece of news, you put it in here in the notes, says just Nanoleaf adaptive lighting. And I assume I know what that means, but maybe we could almost roll a listener question into this too, because David Wages on Twitter was asking us, what we thought about like Hue versus Nanoleaf with Thread. And now this seems like another factor in this decision-making process. So what's going on with the adaptive lighting and Nanoleaf?
Okay, man, we got a half a step forward here. So we knew adaptive lighting was coming to Nanoleaf. They have been forthcoming with that. And even in the interim, they've had their own circadian rhythm feature to basically do their version of adaptive lighting. And this new update, which is currently in beta, is adding adaptive lighting. So I think it's like 1.4.2 or something along 1.4.22, mm-hmm. something along those lines with a 4 and a 1 and a 2. That update of the firmware adds adaptive lighting and specific Nanoleaf scene control to their Essentials light strip and the Essentials bulb.
Gotcha.
It's coming. It's free to sign up. We'll put a link in the show notes for this to sign up for the Nanoleaf beta. So just apply to that and you should get, if assuming you get accepted, they'll put you into the test flight and you'll get like an early release copy of the app and early firmware for your devices. You can play out with new features before they're released. So right now this is in public beta. You can test it out and yeah, it's adaptive lighting. And one thing, I don't even know if this is in our listener questions for the week, Steven, but I saw this somewhere. It was either in an email or a tweet and I've lost control of it at this point. But someone had asked, like, they wanted Nanoleaf to be updating with, like, they were asking when adaptive lighting was going to be coming to Nanoleaf. And one of the things was that it doesn't match exactly, like, they have, like, both going on Hue in the Nanoleaf stuff. And with the circadian rhythm, they were saying the colors don't match Hue exactly. And I want to point out that just because they're adding adaptive lighting, it doesn't mean that's going to match exactly to the Hue ones,
right,
or any other brand, because everyone's using, you know, more or less the, you know, their own LEDs. They all have different manufacturers for their devices, and they're not necessarily going to look exactly the same. So if this one says, oh, set this to 1500K or, you know, whatever number, that's going to look a little bit different than someone else doing it. I mean, there's a reason like Hue has updated its products over time to do better representation of those colors. You could always put in, you know, hex code into the Hue and it would pull up a color. But their earlier ones, their greens and their blues did not look that great. They were not as vibrant and they struggled. So now their new ones definitely have filled that out a little bit. So with, you know, the light strip and everything, they're not going to necessarily look exactly the same. Like right now, I have the Kugeek light strip behind our bunny hutch in the living room. And I have an Eve light strip above our mantle. And then I've got a Hue gradient strip behind the TV. And when I set them to like white, like I can choose the correct color in the home app, the Kugeek one looked completely different. Mind you, it is a much cheaper one than the other two, but the Hue and the Eve, they line up pretty well with their terms of their color reproduction. But the white from Kugeek is very blue, which I don't mind at all, but it just comes out that way. Hmm. Something to keep in mind, just because they're adding adaptive lighting doesn't mean these are going to be like exactly the same.
This is not in our notes, Andrew, but friend of the show and fellow Apple Insider writer, Wes Hilliard, he actually just sent me that HomePlus 5, the HomeKit app that we've mentioned it several times on this, especially talking about automations, actually had a big update. It is now HomePlus 5. It was previously HomePlus 4. And the website is saying that there's even more automation options and things like that. So we probably need to check this out this week and see what's really different and what other automations that we can do with this new version. But since it's kind of just coming out as we're recording, I'll put a link to the website, the webpage that developer Hotchkaterer, we'll put a link to that website talking about what's new in that version of the app. So it looks pretty cool.
This is breaking news. I mean, this is crazy. Like, yeah, this just was released. And I mean, it's so new that in the App Store, it's still saying HomePlus 4.
Right.
But the version notes is, you know, version 5. And HomePlus 5 is a major update. So new user interface, new icons to personalize accessories, rooms, and scenes, updated automation screen. And you can organize your automation folders. That's pretty nice. Holy crap, man. My automations are completely out of whack. Like when you add certain devices in, like my Hunter Douglas shades or some of the Nanoleaf stuff, they import their own scenes. It just really, really makes everything messy in there. So it could be nice to be able to organize some of that a little bit more. Smart groups, favorites, and restore your HomeKit data with backups.
Right. And it seems like there might be more conditional options in the automations area. At least that's what the website was saying.
Okay.
Th- This is very interesting. I know we have some listener questions today talking about conditionals and that, so we will report back, but listeners, check it out. All right. Well, you have some updates on your pantry. You sent me this photo of, I don't know, you're in process. I know. So you got a lot of stuff going on. So give us an update on that pantry light strip project.
We are absolutely in progress on this. We have done, so we didn't talk about it last week. Since then, I have heard some various user feedback, and I've started, you know, my grandfather and I have started actually building everything out. And even, Steven, since what I had sent you before, we even have more updates, like not anything like major, not like anything groundbreaking.
Sure.
I'm sending you an updated picture, and we'll put the picture of this guy so far in the Apple Insider article that accompanies each of these podcasts. So if you're curious of what this is looking like so far, just go read that. And we can try to put a link for that in the show notes as well. But you can see the progress we've done so far, which is basically the cabinetry up and down the sides. And we now have the base in. And I'm trying to figure out exactly all the wiring. This is hilarious, Steven. So one of the questions I asked last time was, you know, how should I do this? Should I solder or should I go the litaccessory route? And we had one person who was very adamant that I do not try to solder. So I don't know if this is this person's lack of confidence in me, but I got, so Jeff here, Jeff Scheinman, he messaged me and was like, just heard your project. It's not worth soldering. Go with the adapters. So much easier.
Okay. All right.
And then I got another email 8 minutes later, and the title of the email is "Laughing Still 15 Minutes Later About Your Soldering."
What? Like, it's your supposed skills or the idea?
The idea of it. So Jeff does not believe in me, and I'm not sure. I can't remember who sent this, but someone else had another idea. So I'm going to take a couple ideas. So first off, I am going to solder at least most of it. But the original plan was to run these wires, to run the light strips underneath each shelf. Okay, because I wanted each shelf to be lit.
Right.
So we'd have essentially four on each side. I would have to solder like an extension essentially between each shell, and I had to leave a bunch of slack that I was going to have to tuck into the frame of the shelving there just to hide it out of the way, which would allow me to be able to move the shelves a good 6 inches up or down between a few of the different peg holes. So that was kind of the plan. Someone reached out, and I've been trying to find the email, but since we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I couldn't find it. Someone reached out with the idea of actually, instead of doing it under each shelf, just going up and down each corner. So the front two corners on the left and the right set of bookshelves. And I love that idea. That is a lot easier because I have that gap there, so I can just run it. I'm going to run it straight up.
Uh-huh.
I'm probably going to run it across the top behind the frame and then back down. And I'll put a spacer on the top so the top isn't lit, but the sides will be lit and then facing backwards into the shelves. So I still haven't gotten to try this out yet because I don't have a spare light strip that I could get to work, but that's how I think I'm going to try this. So I'm going to do a little test with a light strip and extension cord that I've got lying around here and see how it looks. And if it looks okay with the lights coming in from the sides versus coming horizontally from the shelves, that would be a really easy way to do it. And then I only have to do a couple of soldering points. I have to do the extensions along the top, and I have to jump from the left bookshelf to the right bookshelf. But my dad went out, and this was all the excuse he needed to go buy a new soldering gun. So he got a new soldering gun, soldering iron, and I'm going to borrow that and just use an Ethernet cable to jump this over the other side and add the extensions in. And it should only be a couple solder points now versus what I was going to have to do before with every individual shelf. And the shelves should be adjustable. So that's where we're at. We're making progress. Everything is built in. All we have to do is we're going to put some slat wall. We got some commercial slat wall that we're going to put on the back and the sides for shelving and baskets and all that kind of normal pantry stuff. And then put the barn doors on the front.
Very cool. Well, that is definitely going to be a easier process than what the earlier plan was. So
okay, yes.
That was a good suggestion.
Very good suggestion. I'm nervous at how it's going to look because I had it in my head, and I hope it still looks as cool with the light coming down the sides versus across the top.
Right.
We're gonna see.
All right. Well, very cool. We'll keep you posted. Look for those pictures. And again, the chapter art, if you look at your podcast player while Andrew was talking, you'll see the picture of his setup over there. I wanted to touch on this idea of HomeKit parental controls. I have kids, and if you have kids or you're just setting up devices with like screen time and parental controls, this will hopefully resonate with you. But I am pretty strict on the screen time settings, meaning I go into every setting, whether it's website content and what apps they have access to, and I really granularly control that in the screen time settings. So now that Intercom is out and you can use it on the HomePods, the one feature I really wanted to use was if my kids have headphones in and you send an Intercom message to the house, they should be able to hear it in their headphones. Like, it'll stop whatever's playing if they're listening to music, and they'll hear the Intercom message. So I tried to do it, and I realized, A, I'm pretty sure it needs to be AirPods in order for it to come through the headphones, because they had like just cheap Bluetooth over-the-ear headphones and they were not coming through. But even before that, I realized I needed to add them to our home. So my two kids, they have kid iCloud accounts, and they're in our shared family where you share apps and iCloud storage and the Apple One bundle and all that. But I had not added them to our home. They were not like users within the home. They didn't have access to that stuff. They were still able to just talk to Siri and say, like, turn off this light or that light. But that doesn't require an account. You know, anybody could just walk in and do that. So to get the Intercom to send to their individual devices, I went to add them to our home. So I added both of their accounts in the home app. And I quickly realized that you have much less control over different accounts and what they have access to when you add someone to your home account. Very briefly, I'll just share, the only restrictions you get really are when you add someone to your home, you can decide whether or not they can control your HomeKit accessories remotely, meaning if they're out of the house, just totally somewhere else on a Wi-Fi network elsewhere, can they control the devices or not? I set that as no. You can set whether or not they can add or edit accessories, and I turned that off for both my kids. I don't want either of them trying to add or change any of my HomeKit accessories, so that is vital. That's a good setting. You can choose whether or not these additional accounts can see your cameras streaming only, or if they can access recordings. So you can say, you know, only allow them to pull up the camera and watch it live, or you can allow them to do that and view past recordings. And then, this was the important part, I wanted them to be able to talk to Siri on a HomePod in our home and their voice be recognized, whether for a personal request or I was setting up some shortcuts that I wanted them to be able to trigger that affected their stuff, and their voice needed to be recognized. And so then you have the option on these additional accounts to recognize my voice. You can turn that on for each individual, and then you can also turn on or off personal requests. And you also get the option to add these accounts to an Apple TV if you want to have multiple profiles there. That's an imperfect experience, but we won't get into the Apple TV side of that. But even with those settings, I realized as I was seeing random lights turn on and off in the mornings that both my kids now have unlimited access to affecting change to any HomeKit accessory in the home app. So I have like my bedroom lamp is a HomeKit switch. And so my son like was just like playing around running scenes, this is my 8-year-old, and my light was like turning on or off. And I realized I have no way of blocking access to certain rooms, certain devices, or like certain scenes at all. Like those options that I just rattled off is all you get. Like there's no way to say, all right, this is a child account and they only have access to the living room and their bedroom, or they only have access to the dining room and the office. Like you can't specify rooms or devices. Like you can't say, you know, don't give this person access to these devices or anything like that. And I understand that would be a real granular thing, especially if you have a lot of HomeKit devices, but I'm going to add this to my HomeKit wish list. I do wish that you could choose what rooms an account has access to. And if you can also mark a person that you add to your home as a kid, and then, you know, you get those more options. Because there's also not in the screen time options, there's a screen there where you can restrict certain apps from their devices, meaning you can say they're not allowed to use Safari, they're not allowed to use Wallet or News or Podcast. Like you could just turn that toggle off in screen time settings and the app disappears from their device. Like they can't, it's just not even there. And I do that like for Mail and Safari and things like that. There is not a toggle there for the Home app. So if you add them to Home, to your Home, that Home app is there, and there's not a setting in the screen time to limit access to the Home app or like make the Home app disappear from their device. Like it's just there. I think you can delete it because you can delete even the stock apps now on iOS. But if my kids have access to the App Store, they could just search for Home and re-download it, and it doesn't ask for permission again because it was already on their device. So imperfect, the parental controls inside the Home app and with HomeKit devices in general. So adding that to a wish list, you know, I would love room control, scene control, maybe limiting access to those kinds of things. The intercom feature, again, I think it is just, I've tried it multiple times, if they're on headphones, if they have AirPods in and I send an intercom to the whole house, their device will pause whatever they're listening to and the intercom message goes to the AirPods. So that's great. It does not seem to do that if they're just using plain old Bluetooth headphones. I think that a little notification comes up and they can tap it and listen to it, but it doesn't automatically like pause it and then they hear it. So that's something I'm curious if other people have had experience with that. You know, that was a feature that Apple touted in the keynote when they were talking about intercom that, you know, it'll pause whatever everyone's listening to so they can hear your intercom message. And it's much nicer to do that than try to yell loud enough for a kid to like hear you through their headphones. But it's a little imperfect and inconsistent depending on what headphones they've been wearing in my experience. So as I've been now playing around with HomeKit and adding them to the Home and sharing stuff on all that, that's just some wish list things that, you know, Apple can maybe hopefully include in future versions of HomeKit and iOS. Do you have anyone in your home besides you and your wife that you wish that? I mean, it's all adults, right?
Yep, just us two. If I could like restrict my dog's access to, you know, things, that would probably be good. But
sure, because yeah. His Apple Watch, he's constantly licking.
I know. If he could figure out that pet feeder, man.
Oh, right.
No, exactly. That's not even a thing anymore. Unfortunately, PetNet did go under with the pandemic. Their suppliers, their hosting providers and stuff were having issues keeping their servers online, and then of course like downfall from there, which is just really unfortunate. Yeah, so they still work with the existing schedules you have on there, but we had to get, you know, my wife just came home with another cat the one day, so we had to get another feeder, and I couldn't get another PetNet feeder, so we had to get another random one, and I couldn't, you know, get into the app to see exactly what times we had set the other feeder to go off to, so we actually had a little bit of a annoyance there trying to get our automated feeders to sync together.
Oh, gotcha.
Pain points of stuff going under. Had there been a HomeKit category for pet feeders, this would not have been an issue.
All right, well, let's hit the listener questions. We got a bunch of them this week. And so as I mentioned before, David Wages on Twitter was asking us if he wants to get more light bulbs and more devices, should he go Philips Hue? Because he's a big fan and, you know, he likes those Hue devices. He's already got some. Or should he start going with Nanoleaf because of thread access? And like we said earlier, adding adaptive lighting and all that. I think I answered him briefly on Twitter and said, you know, after our conversation about the Hue app and putting devices in rooms and that kind of stuff resetting, again, Hue stuff is great. I have some as well. But the Nanoleaf stuff, I feel like if you're going to start investing in more bulbs and devices, I feel like the Nanoleaf is an attractive option. What do you think?
I mean, it like you said, it's really hard. There's not even a right answer to this. They're both great. Thread is pretty huge if you're okay splitting your ecosystem, which I am for the most part. Typically what I do with the Hue stuff, my rule of thumb is if I can commit that room to Hue, then I'll do it. Because I do use those things that work a little bit better through Hue natively, like the motion sensors. Like, I don't trust the HomeKit motion sensor stuff. And we've had a lot of people sending over their motion sensor ideas. We got a bunch of stuff on motion sensors, but they're still never as reliable for me as like the Hue one. The Hue one is just fast and reliable, and I use that in my kitchen. So I specifically went out and put just Hue lights in those kitchen countertops to turn on and off with the motion sensor. So if I'm doing something like that, then I lean, you know, the advantage of Hue outweigh Nanoleaf. But the thread stuff on Nanoleaf, and they're pretty quick to support a lot of stuff that Apple's been doing, like, you know, adaptive lighting.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And even with Thread coming to Hue, if it is true that Hue is just going to bring Thread to the bridge, but not to their bulbs, that's kind of a downside to me on the Hue side. Because I don't think the bridge is never my problem with Hue. The problem is always the Zigbee, especially when you're, you know, extending that network, some of those far things, like at some point along that route to that last bulb, I've had it, you know, fail sometimes. And I don't have that problem with my Thread stuff so far, at least in its limited capacity. So I'm sorry, David. I have no firm answer. Both are cool. It just depends on the room and the situation on which one I would choose. But I can say I really, really love the Nanoli stuff right now. Oh, this is another big thing for Hue. They have way more bulb types. I mean, you've got just a standard bulb on Nanoleaf, but Hue has one for freaking everything. You want candelabras, you want a freaking whole chandelier by itself, like you want pendant lights. Yeah. Like they've got a ton of options to choose from in their portfolio. That could also be a big reason to go with Hue. I mean, if you're trying, like I have like the BR30 bulbs or something in my ceiling fan in our bedroom. And I love it because they fit in like perfectly and they look really nice and they're not a standard bulb. So they don't have those in the Nanoleaf side. So,
all right. Well, this next question comes from Chris and he's asking about the August smart lock. He wants to set up an automation that when he leaves home, the front door locks. And so he tried some of the shortcut stuff that we had mentioned on the last episode. And unfortunately, he saw that when you set up an automation for locking the door, which I just tried to create one and I see the same warning, that the Home app says this automation will not run automatically because it may allow entry into your home. And so when you leave the house, you do have to actually interact with a prompt to lock the door. And there's not a way to automate it with no interaction from you as a user. So in the built-in Home app, it does not seem like you can have the door lock when you leave the house automatically with no interaction from you as the user. I don't know if that's the case when using like a third-party app like HomePlus 5, like we just mentioned, if they will allow you to do that, but it seems like it is a security feature. What's been your experience with that?
I'm digging around really quick. There is a workaround, and I'm trying to remember what it is. There's a weird workaround. So it's an annoyance with HomeKit for sure, but there is a way to trick it, essentially. Essentially, you kind of bypass it by having an automation trigger another automation, if that makes sense. So instead of just doing that, So here's an example I found. The Wandering Engineer posted this a few years ago. This is what he's doing. So when he arrives home, it turns on his iDevices nightlight, which are the tiny little LEDs on the iDevices switches and outlets and stuff. You can use them as a status light. They have cool applications. But when he arrives home, it turns on that little nightlight. When he leaves, it turns off that nightlight. And then he also has another automation that says when iDevices nightlight turns on, unlock the door. And when iDevices nightlight turns off, lock the door.
Okay.
So if that makes sense. So essentially, when he leaves, that nightlight turns on. And then he has another, a completely separate automation that says when that light turns on, lock the door. And then he does the same thing in reverse. So you need something you can kind of control in that way, like an extra bulb or any of those nightlights on the iDevices stuff. There are ways to get around it, but it is annoying. I get it. I understand why. And I wish that I actually would love if they had put these kind of shortcuts in the CarPlay interface. Like you have, like when you arrive home, you have one that like opens the garage door and closes the garage door. Like that automatically shows up as you arrive. Why can't they put like unlock front door, lock front door kind of automation in there? Right. As well. I guess maybe it's because it's not you or their kids. You have to use like Face ID before you can use like the locking features. Something like that would be nice to kind of simplify that process.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, let us know, Chris, if you try that kind of secondary automation thing and if it works for you. Tony sent us an email and he was just basically saying working with some motion detectors and setting up automations when motion detected and not detected, and said it's been working great for him. He says it's been brilliant and, you know, lights are never left on. It's handy if you're carrying things and you don't have a free hand to turn on the light. And so he's been having a great experience. And also for visitors, they don't even need to know anything about your home stuff or talking to your HomePod. They could just have lights turn on because it's motion detectors. So glad that the motion detector episode helped you out, Tony. And then this next question, this is from Joe, and he has a question. We've had similar questions like this in the past, talking about light switches and things that are timed or have conditionals. Like if a dimmer switch is on and something lowers to 40% brightness after a certain time, things like that. You can do timed automations, but the conditionals, like if a light is on and it's after 8 p.m., then do this. Again, the Home app does not have that kind of option to really do those conditionals. If you do use something like the Home Plus app, you do get some additional steps that you can use in your automations. And again, I have to check out the new Home Plus 5 version of the app to see if maybe he's added some of these more conditionals that are like timed and stuff. But again, at least in my experience with the built-in Home app, you can't do like leave it on for 15 minutes. You know, if there's motion, then turn my bedroom lamp on, and after 15 minutes, turn it off or something like that. Am I understanding that right, Andrew, or do you have another thought on that?
I think it would be best, yeah, looking through like the Home Plus app or the Eve app, those all have a lot more conditionals that you can set up versus the Home app, including for time and stuff like that. So I'm reading this correctly, like, you know, what he wants to do is have the automation search if any lights are already on. So 8 a.m. hits, at you. So you set an automation for a time of day, so 8 p.m., then it looks if any lights are on, set those to 40%. So I think there's ways you can do it that way and structure it so it's not turning on all the lights, but it's saying, you know, if lights are on, set them to 40%. And then you can do an, you know, an if else, you know, if no lights are on, then do nothing or turn them on to 20% or whatever you want to do from there. But that should work using that new Home Plus 5 or the Eve app. Both of those have much more conditionals built in.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, this last question from Cole, this was an email asking about the Hoobs PC thing. And this is something that we've talked about where if you want to work with Home Bridge and include some non-HomeKit accessories in your home and be able to control them through the Home app, Hoobs is a thing where they'll send you basically like this tiny little PC with HomeBridge already installed and you can, you know, add some stuff to it. But Cole is having some issues getting this connected to his house. And so I know, Andrew, I think you have a Hoobs deal. So do you know what might be going on for Cole?
Oh, Cole. Honestly, so when I set mine up, it was like a couple years ago now, and things have definitely changed, and there was a weird thing going on, and I actually had, I'm pretty sure, the exact same thing happening. I was trying to load up like the starting page, and it was just like blank. After some tinkering, I think I reached out to their support team, and they gave me a workaround that would allow it to work. Let me see here. Must have Apple Bonjour service installed if it's on a PC. So we're coming from a Mac here. Try accessing via local IP on your router. So appending port 8080 to the end of the IP. So try that. That is what I did back in early 2019. And I appended that 8080 and putting the IP in specifically. So I actually went to the router. I found the Hoobs device on there. Like I could see it on my list and I put in the exact IP address of the Hoobs device, appended :8080, the port to the end of that, and then hit enter and it pulled up. So basically it was having a problem reconciling the actual URL, but putting in the IP address instead of the shortened URL actually worked.
Okay.
I guess I did have an answer. Find the IP address from your router and then try putting that in and see if that will work.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let us know, all you question askers, if any of that helped you out. And if you have questions about your home setup, things you're doing, projects, we'd love to hear about it. You can tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. You can also email us. That's in the show notes as well. Don't forget to check out the article that goes up on appleinsider.com/podcast. And you can check out those pictures and all the links is on the article in addition to the show notes. Don't forget, if you have not yet, to give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. There's been multiple of you doing that every week. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for doing it.
And don't stop at 5 stars. Make it more.
That's right. Make it more. And honestly, I mean, I don't know if this is a little inside baseball, but I think we are being discovered by more and more people because the audience is growing. I'll just say that. And that's awesome. So that is thanks to you guys for sharing and following and doing the 5-star ratings. And we appreciate that. And share the show. You know, if you have friends or family or you just share it on your social media, people are interested
in. Or even enemies.
Or frenemies.
Share it to them too.
Yes, everything in between. Share the show. We would greatly appreciate that. And don't forget to check out the other shows on Apple Insider. Apple Insider Daily. Every day get the latest Apple headlines. And the Friday Apple Insider Show going through all the latest news. So thank you, listeners. You guys are awesome. And we can't wait to catch you next week.